Okay, I want
if
to
we
move
can describe
on
it as such.
And look at the funding of the National Cancer Strategy, because the Cancer Society were launching their Budget 2025 submission, and it's an issue that came up, I think, back in April as well. They were emphasising this issue of the funding of the National Cancer Strategy. Will you walk us through what point they were making that they also made in April?
Yeah, so I suppose the headline point they're making is they're saying there's a gap of 180 million euro in national cancer funding. So according to the HSC's own figures, the National Cancer Control Programme's annual budget for implementing the National Cancer Strategy should have increased incrementally over the past 8 years to be 110 million euro higher this year than it was in 2016. But the actual incremental increase was only 65 million euro. So as a result of that, if you're looking over the last 7 years, there's a loss of almost 180 million euro is what the Irish Cancer Society is saying. And that's having a knock-on impact on lots of things. They're saying screening has not been expanded as planned, waiting times, the lots of targets that are not being met, cancer surgeries are frequently delayed, and the investment in structure is lacking. So they've said, you know, there's a massive issue there, and they're calling for, I suppose, a renewed emphasis on funding for cancer services ahead of the budget.
And a concern that some diagnostic equipment can't be utilised because of these funding delays or funding shortfalls.
Exactly, yeah. So they're saying this is having, you know, a real life impact on people and, you know, when they're diagnosed and things like that, and the level of care that they're getting.
Okay. Catherine, are cancer surgeries frequently delayed, radiotherapy services operating below capacity, clinical trials short of target, access to new medicines much slower in Ireland than other European countries? It's a pretty lengthy list of problems that the Cancer Society has diagnosed, and they're linking it to a shortfall in the funding of the cancer strategy. What's the government's response to that?
So we're on our third national cancer strategy, and since 2017, we've spent over 454 million on cancer services. That includes 81 million on cancer prevention, screening and treatment, 316 million on medicines, 59 million on cancer research. You have to look at it sort of piece by piece. If you look, for instance, at our screening programmes, really successful cervical cancer screening, the HPV vaccine implementation programme, we're going to be looking at eradicating cervical cancer. Okay, since the since 2020, we've had nearly 100 more oncologists, 200 more nurses, 690 more medical staff working in cancer services. There's been huge capital investment. Recently, the minister launched a really longed for 150-bed unit that will be set up and be a sort of a collab between St James's and Trinity that's going to be on the St James's site. Like, there is huge amount of work
but
going on
in
cancer
word,
services.
Did you accept their figures as to their estimation of the shortfall of 180
the Irish
million?
Cancer Society are possibly. Like, I am a former co-chair of the cross-party group on cancer, and our secretary is the Irish Cancer Society, and they are a fantastic charity. They're volunteers, their staff, they're brilliant, and their advocacy staff.
Is there a but coming here?
There's no but. Every strategy could do a lot more money, okay? But I'm not saying that it's like the survival rates in Ireland, okay, compared to the last compared to 2017, have gone up hugely. We're seeing now people living, instead of 150,000 people living post-cancer diagnosis, we're seeing 215,000 people. So the stats are getting much better in Ireland. People are living with cancer. So we have to look now at not just like their therapies, but how we can live a better life with and having survived cancer.
Okay, Richard Boyd-Barrett, the Cancer Society's figures, first of all, do you accept them, and would you support their call?
Yeah, well, it seems like a very detailed and forensic report. I was just reading the submission, which is quite a lengthy document, and it's very, very detailed, and it goes through all the different areas where there's a lack of funding in terms of staffing, in terms of new medicines, in terms of screening, diagnostic tests, waiting lists, you know, a very, very long list of deficits and sets out how there was a commitment to spend a certain amount of much money incrementally over a period of time, and that actually much less was invested in those services, and that we, as a result, Ireland has the third highest mortality rate for cancer in Western Europe. And this should be a matter of concern to everybody. When you look at the figures, 42,000 people get cancer in Ireland every year. A huge proportion of the population will get cancer at some point. So these are services that we or our family members are going to need. And it's noteworthy that the Cancer Society were accompanied by the members of the Irish Society of Medical Oncologists, the doctors who deal with this on the front line, and they absolutely confirmed everything that the Cancer Society said about the need to fill the funding deficit to improve and make these services what they should be.
All right, Jed Nash, what was your reaction to the submission by the Cancer Society? As I say, not the first time they've said it, and also it follows an open letter from cancer specialists to the Taoiseach back in April as well.
Look, it's really stark and frankly, this is personal for everybody around the table. I know, she won't mind me saying, Catherine, you lost your dad to cancer. It was a fine TD and somebody respected across the political spectrum. Just a month ago, I lost my own aunt to cancer, and the support that she received from the Irish Cancer Society and from the health service was absolutely
condolences to you both on that. Yeah,
I just say that every one in two of us are going to cancer at some point in our lives, and why Minister Donnelly and successive ministers haven't funded our cancer services to the extent that they ought to have is really inexplicable. In one of the richest countries in Western Europe, the fact that we have a mortality rate that's the third highest in this geographic area is quite extraordinary. We haven't had dedicated ring-fenced National Cancer Strategy funding in, I think, 5 of the last 7 budgets, if my memory serves me correct.
But even when funding is ring-fenced, if you look at mental health funding, it was earmarked at 35 million a year. Yep. It was constantly underspent because the staffing, they couldn't find the staff to hire. And the same applies here. And I think Professor John M. Kennedy said that there is an issue with there is insufficient radiotherapy specialists being trained that could even be recruited in order to get these machines into action.
Well, that's where strategies come into place here, from beginning to end, from training right through to continuous professional development, and terms and conditions in terms of the situation that people are working in our health service is often very, very challenging. We also have as well, of course, a recruitment ban across the health service. I raised this with the Taoiseach yesterday. Emergency departments in great difficulty in my own constituency, 33 people yesterday on trials in June in a Lady Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda. All of these things kind of connect. And what we do need, I mean, I'm responsible for developing the Labour Party's cost alternative budget. Last year, we dedicated €20 million exclusively to development funding for the National Cancer Strategy, an additional €6 million in terms of rolling out the screening services.
Does your costed budget have provision that would meet what the Cancer Society and the oncologists are calling for in terms of the full funding? For
last year, yes, it does. Yeah, based on what the National Cancer Strategy, Irish Cancer Society asked was last year, we met that and we did it, as I say, in a costed way. There's no new recruitment funding either in 2024 for the National Cancer Control Programme. So all of these things can be they're political decisions. And I know there was debate is one way of describing it, but it's just inexplicable that last year the minister, in the context of a health budget that is about €20 billion, I know he was looking for €2 billion, he got €800 million. And the reality, of course, is that he's going to come looking now for supplementary budget, as we discussed in the budget.
Let's try and keep it on the cancer strategy without going into
If there's one thing we could do is, well, two things. One is to provide that additional development funding of €20 million that should have been done last year, should be done again this year, ring fenced for the National Cancer, for development funding for National Cancer Strategy, but also as well to make sure we get to the point where, for example, those who are having bowel screening, that it should start at 50 and not where it is at the moment, like other European countries.
Anything else stand out for you in what was said today by the Cancer Society and their submission, Orla?
Yeah, well, I suppose just in terms of some of the commentary today, I know Richard mentioned the Irish Society for Medical Oncology, and their president, Professor Michaela Higgins, was speaking as well. And, you know, she said that, you know, staff are making making every effort to provide quality of care, but because there's a lack of sufficient people, capacity and resources in the system, it's not possible to provide optimal care or patient outcomes in these conditions. So they've really warned that, you know, people could lose their lives over this. So it's something that really desperately needs funding and needs it quickly.
All right, Catherine, it's not just the Cancer Society who are calling for this. There was a couple of contributions to the Joint Oireachtas Committee on Health back in April of this year. Professor Richard O'Leary, who's the National Director of the National Cancer Control Programme, saying that the Health Service Executive sought $20 million in funding for the National Cancer Strategy from 2017 to 2026 this year, but didn't get anything for this year. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not just the Cancer Society wanting more on a wish list. This is the National Director of the National Cancer Strategy saying they didn't get what they needed.
Yeah, and I know Richard has also come out and he had made comments, especially during COVID, that, you know, we fell behind in terms of our screening because people were obviously not presenting to their GPs for screening. And I think it's really important that we do look at, you know, funding things like lung cancer screening and, you know, extending bowel cancer, lowering the age of screening for breast cancer. And obviously funding is really important. We have a budget coming up. I know as a former chair of the cross-party group on cancer, we will be looking for extra funding for the cancer strategies. And I know Stephen is also fighting, you know, looking for extra funds.
But the funding deficit means that the screening, the preventative aspect of things can't be extended, doesn't it? The underfunding of the National Cancer Strategy means that, you know, that kind of screening to earlier age groups it won't be able to happen.
Well, it's not that it won't happen, but hopefully will happen in the future. And we're sort of in, like, we all intended the Cancer Society pre-budget submission. And, like, so those budget talks are ongoing. So, like, I think we need to be positive. We need to keep the pressure on. We need to keep asking. We need to have the cancer strategy properly funded. And I hope that that will happen. And I know that the Taoiseach is really keen to ensure that we have a proper cancer strategy. I think it's, like, accepted that we fell behind during COVID, not just for cancer, but for a lot of different illnesses that you know, people weren't detected as early as we'd like, and there is a bit of catching up to do. But I know the Minister Donnelly, there's very goodwill in terms of our cancer strategy, and that Professor John Kennedy's outpatient bed in St James's Hospital is going to be state of the art. It's going to be a fantastic unit. Hopefully none of us have to attend in the future, but it's going to be really, like, leading the way in terms of our cancer strategy. And it is very much part of our cancer strategy, and it will be a huge capital investment on the Trinity site, on the James's site.
Richard Boyd Barrett, do you accept any of the explanations or mention of COVID as a delaying factor in what's caused some of the lag in diagnosis?
No, because the National Cancer Control Programme predates that, and there was commitments to a certain level of funding that simply hasn't been delivered. And we then have a report which is pretty damning and detailed in outlining the deficits and also in all sorts of areas, like the screening, as you mentioned. Reducing the age when screening will be done, and that doesn't happen. Now, that means less cancer is detected, more people get cancer at a, you know, and it's only discovered at a later stage, and more people die. I mean, that's the consequence of these sort of things. So if you don't invest in the programme that you committed to and that the people who work in this area are telling you they need, then people suffer and more people die unnecessarily. Or even just things like, I'm looking again at things about automatic medical card provision for anybody who's diagnosed with cancer. And I've had cases in my clinic, you know, where people have cancer and then they're having to get to jump through hoops or have to financial burdens imposed on them when they're dealing with cancer. For God's sake. I mean, we have to, if people are diagnosed with cancer, we have to make it easy for them to recover. And you certainly don't do it if they've massive financial burdens on it or going through hoops trying to apply for medical cards on sort of exceptional grounds.
Yeah, I've had a case myself recently. That was it was tricky and real crisis. I mean, there's no more human a crisis than a diagnosis of terminal cancer. In this case, it is. But also as well, I mean, delayed surgeries are a real problem. I had two cases the last couple of weeks in, you know, one of our hospitals in the region that specialises in, you know, treating certain kinds of cancers. The surgery was done ultimately, but every day counts.
Yeah, I think there's the figures that came out today were one in two patients not accessing prostate or pancreas cancer or surgery on time in 2021. One in four breast cancer patients who had to have surgery not having their treatment on time in 2022. I do want to go just to the screening thing, because we do have a contribution in from a listener, Danny in Liscannor in Clare, saying, I'm listening to the debate on cancer. My father is 58 and now dying from bowel cancer, which has spread. He was never screened. One of your debaters just said bowel screening happens at 50 in other European countries. My daddy would be okay if this happened here. Please share. And that's from Danny in Liscannor, in County Clare. And obviously, I think all the panellists here would echo our sympathies on the predicament of your father on that. So, Catherine Arda, I mean, there's another issue you've raised yourself, the issue of people who are being treated for cancer during their maternity leave and that time not being added on to the end of the maternity leave. In order for that to happen, that's another issue of funding in the upcoming budget, isn't it?
And I'd just like to actually, if you like, allow me, I'd like to mention one of the patient advocates, Erica Tierney. She had cancer when her first child was born, and it's actually come back, and she's still advocating today, sending messages, doing a lot of online work, and I just want to commend her for her work. So it's a private member's bill in the Senate just to allow women who are undergoing cancer treatment during the maternity leave to defer that treatment, or to defer their maternity leave while they're undergoing treatment. The minister, he's busy at the moment with his leadership campaign, but he has promised in 2023 to bring in this legislation. So we're really hoping that he will do that. Hopefully he'll make it even part of his leadership campaign and deliver on it before the end of term. But it's a really important piece of legislation. It affects 60 women a year. So every year, 60 women are being failed by not being allowed to defer their maternity leave. And it's a really important time for a mother and their baby, for that bonding. And I think if the state could allow them, catch up on that time, it would be really important. Really, it's a really sort of simple issue in my mind to fix. Right. And we have given a solution. We have private members' bill down in the Senate, and it's already gotten cross-party support. I've spoken to nearly all my colleagues, and I'm really hoping that the minister will take it on board.
It's really important. There's a Labour bill actually just before in the House at the moment as well on allowing people to have time off to actually go and get screening.
Okay.
It's really important. So it's great credit on that particular legislative initiative, Catherine. Well,